Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. And say amen when you're there. The reading says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I'd like to look at another scripture is Ephesians 2, 19 to 20, which says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to speak on that idea. That thought is the firm foundation. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for being that firm foundation. I thank you, Lord, for being a solid rock to stand on. Lord God, I pray that you help us today. Help me, Lord God, this morning. Speak through me. Use me as a vessel to bring your word. Open the eyes and ears of our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your word, that it take root and bear forth fruit, I pray. Have your will and your way in this place, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. The firm foundation. As we established in Ephesians that Jesus Christ is himself as the chief cornerstone. In Matthew 16, we read a conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and he asked them, he says, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they go through a list of, you know, well, some say that you're you know, Elias, some say you're this, and some say you're that. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, well, thou art the Christ, the Savior. And Jesus in verse 18 says, and I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail, not prevail against it. So Jesus is establishing there that, hey, it's been revealed of who I am. I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I am the rock. This truth that's been revealed unto you is what I'm going to build my church on. This rock, this truth, is an unchanging truth. And I know in today's world, we can look around us and everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Everything that can be moved seems to be moved. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes in diverse places. There's things happening in this world. And in the world, we see across the board that we're seeking and we're hungry as a people for something to hold on to that's unmovable. We're looking for that stable ground as a human race. And I will say, and pardon me if I cough a lot, I've got a chest congestion that's just hanging on. But in Galatians 5, 19 through 26, we read kind of a description of building ourselves up, right? So Jesus establishes that I am the solid rock. That truth is firm. That truth is where you're going to start, but then you have to build on that. So in Galatians 5, and we're going to go through 19 through 26, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now that's a whole lot of these are the bad things and these are the good things, but I will say that as we establish Christ in our lives, as we get rooted and dig deep into that firm foundation, then that firm foundation will begin to grow through us, and it'll be easy to step away from the things that that are listed here as saying that they are the product of the flesh, that are manifestations of the flesh. And instead, we will begin to see the fruits of the Spirit being produced in our lives. And those fruits will not only be just for our own sake, but those around us will begin to see these fruits. In Jude 20, Jesus says, or in Jude 20 it says, "But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So Jude is giving direction to the church as well, saying that, hey, as you build up your faith, you're building on this foundation. You're growing yourself through the Holy Ghost. So there are things that are coming against us as we go through life, right? Excuse me. As we grow, seeking after having the fruits of the Spirit, and Jude says that we will build up ourselves through the praying in the Holy Ghost. And obviously, there's fasting and reading of Scripture as we grow ourselves. And in Lamentations, it says, in Lamentations 3, 22 through 23, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness." So even when we fall, that God's mercies are there to restore and renew us. He's not there to just slap you down and say, "Man, bro, you just messed up. You're done." No, he's there to restore. He's there to build. And also in Galatians there, when we read, it says, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another." So if we see a brother in fault, I want to seek to restore you. But if I'm doing good, I'm not going to pump myself up and say, "Look at me, look where I am. I've got the fruits of the Spirit, and you're struggling over there. So you need to look up and see who I am and what I am. I've produced something of myself." No, 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 no. Because I am nothing without the Lord. And so I need to remain humble and submitted unto God. Now, in this building up, one story that I really enjoy is the story of Nehemiah. And as I went, as I read through the story of Nehemiah, and we know that the the walls of Jerusalem have been destroyed, and they've been destroyed for a while. And Nehemiah petitions for permission to go and begin repairing the walls of Jerusalem. We know he is granted the permission, and he goes and he gets assembling everybody and says, hey, you know, let's rebuild this, the walls of our city. Let's rebuild the walls of our country. And as we see this happening, mentally in times past, for myself anyways, it was easy to just kind of skim over that part and say, okay, he assembles everybody, they rebuild. But the Bible in chapter 3 goes through, and it's really interesting because it goes out and it actually names that this group repaired this part of the wall. This group repaired this part of the wall. And this group repaired this part of the wall. Right off from the beginning, I'm not going to go through all of them, but right off in the beginning of chapter 3, it says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. And they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mahithathay. They sanctified it. Unto the tower of Hanel, and they sanctified it. And then it goes on and says, and then next to them was this one. And then next to him was this one. And so this isn't just an individual task here. You see, Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the firm foundation in which we are built. And yes, I want to build up my own holy faith as I seek after God. I want to build up my relationship with him. But we're building a church. We are a body. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And so, I have my section. And I want to dig further into this in my own studies, but the priest built up the sheep gate. They rebuilt the place where the offerings of the Lord were coming in. And they sanctified it. And they sanctified their entire strip. So when I'm looking and I'm walking through this life, I want to make sure that I am building my section. I want to make sure that I am being used where I need to be being used. Not for my own glory. Not for a provocation of brethren, but for his glory. I want to be being used in the area that I'm being used. And then, so Nehemiah, he's got all of the congregation building their sections of the wall. Then we go through, and isn't it like life? And the devil, we'll just say life, that as you begin to move, as you begin to build on that firm foundation, you're going to get oppositions. You know, that wall sat there, torn down for years. Nobody cared. Nobody bothered. But when the walls started being rebuilt, when the doors started being put together, when things begin to be sanctified and anointed unto God, opposition shows up and people start taking notice and say, hey, I'm not okay with that. I need to stop that. So as we go through, you see opposition through ridicule. They begin to be ridiculed. You see opposition through a threat of attack. Opposition through discouragement. Now, when opposition comes in our lives, you need to dig in even a little bit deeper and say, hey, I'm not moving. I've got a firm foundation that is Jesus Christ. I'm not going anywhere. I know what I have is the truth, and I know what I have is right, and I'm going to keep on holding on to it. Now, when you go into those type of things in your life, sometimes that opposition may be just testing to see, are you real or are you just playing church, right? I've got a testimony that my dad grew up telling us, and my dad, he's bishop now in Minnesota, but he was not always in church. When he was a young man, he was living as hard and as wild for the world as he could. But then, God got a hold of him. You see, one of the friends of his that he would party with was a backslidden apostolic. And one day, his friend came up to him and said, "Hey, Mike, no hard feelings, but I can't hang out with you anymore." And he was like, "What do you mean you can't hang out with me anymore?" And he said, "Well, because, you see, I was raised in church, and God's starting to work on my life, and I'm wanting to get right with him. And just hanging out with you has been a bad influence in my life. And so I want to get right with God. And so I'm no offense to you, but I'm taking the bad influence out of my life." And my dad said, "Well, hey, instead of just taking me out of your life, bring me to church with you. I want to know about this," because he had been seeking and praying every single night. He said he'd get home from the party, go into his room, and weep and pray and say, "God, I'm sorry for this life I'm living. I don't really know you, but I want to be right with you." And he said, and then the next night, he'd be out doing the same thing, then be back in his room praying. Well, God got a hold of him, and he went to church with his friend. He got baptized in Jesus' name, and God started to work on his life. And he had, now I know I have facial hair. Back in the day, facial hair actually signified something. Some of the older people in the room may know what I'm talking about, but he had a Fu Manchu and long hair, and it was a symbol of who I am. I'm macho. I'm a bad dude, and I'm out to just show out and be the baddest guy that I can be. Well, he come in the house clean shaven, haircut, with a Bible under his arm. And his mom, my grandma, looked at him and she went, "Oh, no. You're going to be one of those." Now, she was a strong opposition against him. Previously, she was one of his biggest supporters. And Nana, as you know, she didn't know all that her son was actually doing. She thought he was the perfect angel and could never do anything wrong. But as years went by and he preached sermons and told what he was doing, my grandma would be back there. But in the time, she was coming against him hard, saying, "Oh, you're gonna clean up and you're gonna be a Bible thumper, really?" Well, what my dad didn't know is whenever he would leave to go to work, she'd be sneaking in his room, finding the Bible to read it. In the middle of all of that, my grandparents were, at that time, in the middle, they were on the verge of divorce. She had already gotten the papers ready to divorce my grandpa. He was a heavy, hard alcoholic, an abusive alcoholic. And she was seeking for an answer. She had an unstable life. Everything around her was shaking, and there was no firm foundation. But yet, there seemed to be something that just changed, something different in her son. And so, she started seeking. And one day, my dad came home from work, and my grandma was sitting there at the table with the divorce papers ready, and she looked at my dad, and she said, "Mike, what should I do?" And he looked back at her, and he simply said, "Well, Mom, what is it that you want?" And God spoke to her, and he said, "What you're really wanting is what your son has." Fast forward, she and my grandpa, they ended up, I want to say it was 74 years of marriage when they passed. They didn't get a divorce. My grandpa got rid of the bottle. My grandma got into church. But you see, there was strong opposition. As soon as he walked in that door, "Oh no, you're one of those?" He was building a wall. He was fresh as a babe in Christ. He was new. And immediately, what was always comfortable and support turned into an attack, saying, "Hey, that's not okay. You can't be building that wall. You can't be putting roots into that firm foundation." But through putting roots into a firm foundation, not only did he build up his own holy faith, but the fruits of the Spirit worked, and she was brought into Christ as well. So you see, we see opposition through ridicule, opposition through threat of attack, through discouragement, through extortion, and also Nehemiah, he tells the people, "Arm yourselves." And so you had the people, half the people are standing there armed, ready to fight, defending this wall. And the other are standing there working, building up, putting the bricks on, laying one after another. So this is an individual thing. I have to grow. I want to be used of God, but I have to be doing my own digging, my own putting bricks up on in my life, but I also need to be working together, kingdom-minded, unified. In 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to read 5 through 17. I believe I used this scripture actually last time I taught here. It says that, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Right there. We're working together. And while you may have your section of the wall, and I have my section of the wall, and you have your section of the wall, we're all working together. One's watering, one's planting, but we are together one body of Christ, working together for the same goal, and we are God's building. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." So just because you may be laying one brick does not mean you're the end builder. Someone else is coming behind you and putting another brick on top. But let every man take heed to how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by the fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Building up most holy faith. They're working together. He says, take heed to what you're building. Take heed to how you're building it. Are you being diligent? Are you being consecrated as you build? Or are we just going halfway? You know, there's the story of the three little pigs of straw, sticks, and stone. And obviously the little piggy that built with bricks, his house stood up against the big bad wolf. But Scripture just says right there that in the end, what we built, what we chose to lay down, is going to be tried by fire. And if it withstands the trial by fire, we're going to receive a reward. Man, I want to make sure that what I'm laying down is made of the precious stone. I want to make sure that what I'm allowing to be built in my life is going to withstand the trial by fire, because I want that reward. There's no reward greater than that which is given by the Lord. You see, things in this life, I will acknowledge I am, you know, I'm a senior cost accountant. So in this life, I have built up some things as far as work prestige. You know, you need to work. But no matter what level I can make myself in a company, no matter what kind of a salary I can earn, in the end, it doesn't amount to anything. But what have I invested in spiritually? What have I built spiritually? Have I allowed the fruits of the Spirit to work through me? Have I allowed myself to be a witness? Have I been an example to let the Lord's light shine through me to those around me? Do I have a crown in glory? Not for my own sake of saying, look what I've done, no, but for God's glory, but to be used as a vessel, to be used as a conduit, to let that flow through me. I want to be building something that's an investment for eternity. Oh, Jesus, I praise your holy name. I will tell you, as you grow and as you build in my life and in our lives, sometimes you may end up staying in one spot. But other times, God may move you around a little bit into uncomfortable situations. As we seek, as we grow, as we build, there's going to be an altar built up for the Lord as well. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, we read that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I know I'm wrapping up here, but you've built a city on a hill. You don't want to build your city down hiding. But I want to be built up on a hill to where those around can say, wow, there's something different with that person. There's something different with Nathaniel. There's something different with any one of us. It's where there's a question that says, what do you have that's different? Because I want that. I have a desire for that. I can tell you, over the past few months, my family has gone through some trials and some struggles. But because of some building blocks that we've laid, I've gotten to see healing and restoration. As some of you may know or may not know, Friday was Mabel and I's 5th year anniversary. And on Friday, we got to see a wedding. A wedding that was a long time coming. You see, in our family, God's been working on different individuals. And I've got a brother-in-law and sister-in-law that they had been going different ways. They've been together for 17 years. But they were not actually married. Well, I did not realize that. I thought they were married. And so I raised the question, dude, why don't you put a ring on it? Is what I said. And, well, I said it kind of half-jokingly, but very serious of, you should get married, you know. Well, it went very serious and very deep, very quick, as to why there has not been a ring put on it. Well, that led into about an hour and a half discussion of premarital counseling / biblical teaching on marriage. That was maybe a month ago, but on Friday, on our 5th year anniversary, my brother and sister-in-law became brother and sister-in-law. They went and got married Friday on our anniversary. You see, in my brother-in-law's life 3 years ago, God got a hold of his heart. He's been in prison. He's lived a hard life. But God got a hold of him. My sister-in-law, she's been struggling. She's been that opposition. But she is now seeking after the Lord. She's been going to church, seeking after the Lord. There's nothing really that I nor Mabel have done other than to be an example and to ask a question. and teach a short little hour and a half Bible study. But out of that example, out of that building, there is now more building. And I believe that from that, there's going to even be further growth. So, be the example. Make sure that in your own life, you're building for the kingdom. Make sure that you are setting aside an inheritance that is going to withstand the test by fire. But also make sure that you're pouring that light into others, that you are helping others build their own building. To be an example, to let the light shine through you, to make sure that you have something to win someone else that is hungry or hurting, you can let that pour into them. Let yourself be a vessel, a conduit of the love of Jesus, to allow the fruits of the Spirit to work through you, to heal, to restore, to minister, to guide those around you, to be an example. And it all comes back to, what foundation are you building on? Are you building on Jesus Christ, the one and only rock, the chief cornerstone that is unmovable? Or are you placing things into sand that can shift and will be destroyed? Let's all stand.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.